Okay, today I want to talk to you about the recipe for victory. Does that excite you?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Good. Excited me. I mean, if it doesn't excite you, I'm excited for you. Okay, we'll do, how about that? I want you to open your Bibles, or actually, you know what, let's pray first. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for those who came out today. Thank you, Father, for those who wanted to and just couldn't, Father. Lord, we thank you for the message that you're going to reveal today. This isn't about me. Father, this is about you. It's always about you, and it's about your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's about what he's done for us, Father. And it's about him living in us. And it's about him living through us. And it's about him. It's about Jesus. Amen. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak through me this morning, Father. May it be your voice. May it be your heart that is heard, Father, as we spend this morning together, Father, as we enter into your presence, your ever-precious presence. Father, we thank you for that, and we give you the praise, and we give you the glory, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. All right. I'm taking today's sermon out of Philippians 4, 1-13. So we're going to read that together, and then we're going to get into it. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. It starts off, therefore. So we all know that if there's a therefore, there was something that came before that, okay? We're going to get into that in a little bit, but for now, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, okay? My joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose name is in the book of life. I rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, I rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. What is the opposite of all? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Meditate on these things. What things? It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Do these things. And then he finishes off with a promise. And the God of peace will be with you. When will the God of peace be with you? When you do those things which Paul was talking about. Goes on to say in 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you came. For me has flourished again through you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Paul was talking about waiting for them to come to see him, okay? And they came with offerings for him to help him, but they couldn't get there until finally they did, and Paul was recognizing that. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? This is the basis of what we're going to talk about today. That last verse where it talks about, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That verse is a very important verse, and we need to understand that verse, because that verse means a certain thing. And sometimes we get verses out of context. And what happens when we get things out of context? If we take the text out of context, what do we have? Con. We can get conned, okay? So we don't want to get conned. So make sure we keep things in context. How do you keep things in context? You read what it said prior. You read what it said before that, especially if you hear a therefore, okay? And some people, what they do is they open up the Bible and they slam their finger down on a verse and then they claim that verse. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Well, that means that I can do all things. Well, then I can do whatever I want. That's not what the verse means. The verse means that I can go through any hardship. I can go through any joy. I can go through anything because Jesus Christ is in me and he strengthens me. Amen? All right. Well, I'm glad we got that cleared up. Okay. How many of you guys know that God loves to cook? I'm serious. He loves to cook. How many of you know that God wrote a cookbook?
I didn't know that.
He did. He wrote a cookbook. No, I'm not conning you. Yeah. And how many of you have dug into his cookbook? Because I'm telling you something. In this cookbook are many, many awesome, incredible recipes. Okay? What is a recipe anyway? A recipe is a set of instructions that help us to get to an end goal. That's what a recipe is. It helps us, it keeps us on track to get us to an end product. That's what a recipe does. What do you think would happen with KFC if they didn't follow the recipe? Okay, there's one. It might be better. Okay. But it certainly wouldn't be consistent, would it? One KFC would be different from another KFC. Whatever KFC you went to, you'd never know what you're going to get. But the colonel was very adamant that every store followed the recipe to a T. It was his secret recipe, okay? Whether you like KFC or not, that was his motto. So what happens if you follow the recipe? You get the desired results that you want. And what happens if you don't follow the recipe? Well, you don't. You get something else. Okay? Does anybody know what a hollandaise sauce is? Okay. A hollandaise sauce is a very delicate sauce. All right? It's made with egg yolks and butter, lots of butter, and it's made with a little bit of lemon, a little bit of salt and pepper. Okay? And hollandaise sauce is very temperamental. All right? You can take the ingredients, but if you don't know how to put the ingredients together, you're going to end up with something totally different. Because the temperature has to be right. It's not just about what goes in it. It's about how the temperature is. And it has everything has to come together in the right way at the right time. And if you overheat it, what happens is it separates. It might taste good. It might taste okay. But it doesn't look very good. All right? And if you put it over top of an egg or whatever it is you're putting on, doesn't have the same effect. But if you do it properly, the hollandaise sauce is very rich. And when it sits on top of a poached egg, it's nice and golden. And it's just really nice and just smooth as it goes down. Are you guys getting hungry yet? Yeah. Some of you don't know, but my background is cooking, okay, obviously. And I was a chef for well over 35 years. But when I was a young chef, I won't tell you the stories about the mistakes I made when I was an older chef, but I'm going to tell you the one I made, one in particular, when I was a young chef, and I was making muffins. And in the recipe, I put 2 tablespoons of salt instead of one teaspoon or something. It was, the proportions were totally out. The muffins came out of the oven, and I looked at them, and I thought, man, these look awesome. I did a great job. And I'm taking these muffins and I'm running around. I'm saying, here, have a muffin, have a muffin, have a muffin. And everybody's out there looking at them thinking, oh, these look great. And they grab the muffin and they take the top off and they take a bite out of it. And, oh, what did you do? And I'm thinking, what? And I realized that I had put too much salt in the muffins. So I had to redo the recipe. And this time follow the instructions properly, and what did I end up with? Really good muffins. Okay. Recipes are designed to take something that is good and transform it into something that is better. That's what a recipe is for, and there's plenty of them. Osso buco. We're going to talk about osso buco. Who knows what osso buco is? God, you guys are going to be hungry when you're done this here. If you don't know what osso buco is amazing. Osso buco is when you take the shank of a veal, all right? Now, how many of you, I don't know if you know, but the shank of a veal is very, very tough, all right? And then you can take the shank of beef as well, like of a grown animal. But typically it's made with veal. But it's a tough piece of meat. So to make it tender, what we do is we cook it slow and long, all right? And we baste it and we sear it, all right, with garlic and with a little bit of tomato paste and some liquids, and the aromas are just amazing, okay? And when you take the osso buco, no, listen, when you take the osso buco out of the oven and you take a fork and you just move the meat across and the meat just falls off the bone. And it is so good. And you have that with a little bit of mashed potatoes and some vegetables if you really like into that kind of thing. And it's so good. All right? That's osso buco. All right? Now, here's the thing. You're taking something tough and you're turning it into something tender. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. And I want you to use your imaginations. Okay? Are you with me? All right. We're going to pretend that I'm that piece of veal, all right? I'm that shank, all right? I'm serious. I'm going to tell you this story about the shank now and what the shank goes through when he's being prepared, all right? So here I am. I'm this veal shank, and I'm going about my day. I'm kind of minding my own business when all of a sudden this guy comes and he picks me up and he throws me into this searing hot frying pan. Now I'm in this frying pan and I'm dying. This is like this, all of this heat, and I can't stand it. The heat's coming from all over the place, and this guy, he's just flipping me around and he's basting me and he's cooking me, and I'm thinking, when is this ever going to stop? And then all of a sudden, when I think that things are going to get a little bit better, then he takes me and he puts a lid on me and he sticks me into a hot box. Now I'm in this hot box and I'm just, the heat, it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And I'm thinking, is there any end to this? Is there any, why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? And nobody was hearing me. Nobody. I felt like I was all alone. All by myself. realizing that I was not going to get out of the situation in and of myself, I simply surrendered to the process. And as I surrendered to the process, I actually realized that there was a peace that started to come over me. And I started to relax. I even forgave the guy that put me in the hot box, if you can believe that. And I thought about good things while I was in that hot box. I was free. I was free. And you know, I realized something had changed. I wasn't that tough piece of meat that I used to be. All of a sudden, I realized I was tender. And I was kinder. And I was more loving. And I was more patient. And you know, that guy that put me through all of this, we're really tight now. Him and I. We're so happy together.
I'm so happy together.
I knew that as long as I was with this guy and I was in his presence, I could go through anything as long as he was with me. End of story. You see, Christians are like osso buco. We are. We're like osso buco. Life has a way of toughening us up and making us bitter. Okay? But God, He's in the business of tenderizing. That's His job. That's what He does, and He's really, really good at it. God is in the business of taking something that is good and transforming it into something that is better. Not butter, better. Get your mind off food. But for that to happen, something has to change. And sometimes the Lord has to turn up the heat in our life. Amen? You can say amen to that. Don't worry. There's only Him and you. That's really all there is. It's Him and you and being in His presence. And that's so important to understand. You see, Paul, he understood osso buco. He knew the process. He knew what it was. Paul's letter to the Philippian church was different from most letters that Paul wrote to the churches. Okay, we all know the letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. It was a pretty harsh letter. There was a lot of rebuking going on in that letter. But Paul's letter to the Philippians was different. It was more tender. It was more loving. It was more kind because there was a relationship there. There was something different about the Philippian church. The Philippian church supported Paul. The Philippian church was a mature church, if I can say it that way. There was a lot more maturity in them, and there was a lot more support. They weren't a church that was taking and taking. They were a church that was giving out. They understood the process. But Paul's letters to the other churches were very bold and were very harsh, but not this one. As a matter of fact, in his message in Philippians was all about the nature and the grounds for Christian joy. I encourage all of you to read Philippians, not just Philippians 4, right from the beginning to the end. Because if you want to know how to live the Christian life, it speaks about that very eloquently in Philippians. Do you know where Paul wrote this letter of encouragement and joy and praise to the Philippians? He wrote it from a Roman prison cell. That's where he wrote it from. He was basically a prisoner. Okay? Now, I don't know much about a Roman prison cell, but I can tell you, I don't think that it's a nice place to be. I don't think any of us would want to be where Paul was when he wrote that letter. In verse 12, in the New American Bible Revised Edition, it says, I know indeed how to live a humble in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstances and in all things, I have learned the secret. There's the secret recipe, okay? Of being well fed and of going hungry. So he's talking about lack and abundance. He's had both. Of living in abundance and of being in need. I have the strength for everything through him who empowers me. Okay. It's all in the recipe. It's in the recipe. Now, you say, well, what is this recipe? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I actually have a recipe here for you, and I'm going to read it out to you. If anybody wants a copy of the recipe, well, you can come and talk to me, and I'll get you a copy. I'll email you one. You take one human, all right? Doesn't matter whether it's a male or a female. It's optional, okay? You take as much prayer as you can possibly muster, all right? Not mustard, muster, all right? You need 70 times 7 of forgiveness. Actually, 70 times 70 of forgiveness. You need a truckload of surrender. Yeah, you're going to need a lot of that if you're going to want this recipe to work, okay? And before you add surrender, you're going to have to peel away the anxiety, all right? Because if you don't peel away the anxiety, what's going to end up is you're going to end up with a bitter product in the end, all right? So you don't want that. Now, you take all of these ingredients and you throw them into a blender on high, okay? Yeah. And then, while you're listening to all the screaming, while it's blending, what you do is you slowly add 7 parts of rejoicing, okay? 7, it's important, 7 parts of rejoicing, and it may be hard to do this, and you may be distracted by all the noise that's going on in the background, but I know you guys can do it. Now, in another bowl, I want you to take whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Hang on, there's more. Whatever is gracious, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise. Okay? I want you to put those in that bowl together, mix it all up, and then you throw that into the blender with the other stuff. All right? Now, once that's all mixed, then you let that marinate. All right? Let it marinate. All right? It may take a little while. All right? But be patient. Okay? And then, all of a sudden, what you're going to experience, are you ready? The end product, all right? You're going to experience the peace and the love of God that surpasses all understanding. Okay? And that's going to be yours. Now, if you've already tried this recipe and it's kind of gone out of date, don't worry, all right? All you got to do is repeat the process. Okay? And you will get it right. It works every time. As long as you follow the recipe. You got to follow the recipe. All right? Remember, the recipe is really a list of instructions that need to be executed if you want to experience the finished product. It requires sacrifice. All right? Remember, there are no magic formulas. There are no magic bullets or pills, okay? It just doesn't work that way, all right? A recipe isn't a magic formula, all right? A recipe takes sacrifice. We're going to talk about that. Something as amazing as Osso Buco is not going to magically appear by us just standing there and looking at the recipe. You're going to have to do something. There has to be action involved. You're going to need to get the cookbook. You're going to need to find the recipe in the cookbook. You're going to need to read the recipe. And then you're going to need, you're going to need to do exactly what the recipe tells you to do. All right? And if you follow the instructions according to what it says, all right, you're going to experience the end result. It's going to happen. Because God makes good recipes. All right? He knows what he's talking about. Which brings me to this point. Did you know that a recipe is really a reflection of the person who wrote it? Okay? The recipe is a reflection of the person who wrote the recipe. That person is in the recipe. When I pull out my James Beard cookbook, anybody know who James Beard is? God help them. Okay. It's like I feel like James Beard is now a part of the kitchen. He has entered the room. Okay? It's because I'm working off of his recipe, his experiences, his direction. All right? So when we're listening, when we're reading God's word, and when we're listening to what God is saying to us, and we're doing what God is telling us to do, who has entered the room? Jesus. You can say that loud. It's Jesus. And that's what we need. Every recipe that's in this book is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And it's all about what Jesus has done for us. I'm telling you, you want to make some good recipes? You want to cook up a storm? You start reading this book. You start pulling out the truth of what's in this book and apply it to your life. And all of a sudden, you're going to see some things shift and change. Now, God may turn up the heat, but don't worry about that. That's okay. He's just tenderizing you. Okay? He's just getting you ready. And that's okay. Because you're going to look real good when it's done. Okay? When we meditate on the word of God and we follow and do what it is that he has instructed us to do, his presence enters into the room, into our hearts, into our house. Our house. What is our house? Our house. And wherever we go in our house, we bring him with us. And people experience him through us. Because he's there. He's in the room. And it's his peace. And it's his very nature that guards our hearts and our minds from an ever impressive world that is trying to vie for our time and our energy and our focus. And I'm just as guilty, okay? I can get sucked in to TV, to the things of the world, to cars, to whatever, you name it, you know, motorbikes. But there's nothing wrong with Harleys, right, Ron? Okay. You got to look at Ron's shirt. It's awesome. It's keeping our mind fixed on his presence. Because when we're in his presence, that's when things start to happen. And that's when we experience the peace and the joy and the love of our Father. Paul learned that worrying about the past was just a waste of time and energy. He didn't have time for it. He realized that, well, you know, why am I going to spend my energy and time there? It says in chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, it says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul wasn't wasting time worrying about his past. Paul did a lot of crazy bad things. Paul murdered Christians. Now, how do you think that would play on your psyche? Now, all of a sudden, you're being used by God. And yet you did all those things. Paul didn't waste time there saying, brooding about what he had done, even though he did some pretty nasty things. His mind and his focus was not on the past. It was on the present and on the future. Okay? And this is why it's so important for us, church, to have vision. If we have no vision, where are we going? We need to have vision. We need to know where it is that we're going if we're going to get there. Okay? So if we have that vision, we have the goal and we keep our eyes on the prize. Amen? Anything else, you're wasting time. You're wasting time. Get over it. Okay? And move on. Are you worrying about the past? What is the thing that may be consuming you day after day? You see, here's the thing, guys. The enemy has a cookbook too. Okay? It wouldn't be fair for me to be up here and tell you all about God's great cookbook if I didn't tell you that there was a counterfeit out there. All right? And there is a counterfeit out there. And it's full of recipes, but these recipes aren't there to make you victorious. These messages are out there. These recipes are out there for your failure. Because the enemy wants you to fail. He doesn't want to see you move forward. He wants you stuck in the past. He likes it when you're stuck in the past. Because he knows when you're stuck in the past, you aren't going to move forward. All right? Well, I'm telling you, I ain't got no time for that. Right back? We ain't got no time for that. My time is going to be spent looking forward. My time is going to be spent looking at the vision. And I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize, and that's where I'm going. Yes, I've done some crazy things in the past, but you know what? That's not where I'm living. I'm living for the future. I'm living for now. I'm living for today and for what God has in store. The question here is, which recipe are you following? Whose cookbook are you in? Okay? I'm going to close with this. Do you know what makes a great chef? The same thing that makes a great CEO, or the same thing that makes a great architect, or the same thing that makes a great mom and a dad. Okay? An understanding of what it is and who it is that you want to become. I remember there was a time in my life when I was a young man, I did not like who I was. But I'm telling you, God is in the business of redeeming who you are and making you into the person that he wants you to be. Okay? I'm not saying that we don't like ourselves or love ourselves. But I'll tell you, at that time, I knew why I didn't like myself and why I didn't love myself the way that I should. And it was because I was doing things that were not in God's will. And I didn't even know God. Honestly, back then I wasn't even a Christian. But I had an epiphany, and I know it was the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said to me, take a look at your life. Take a look at who you are. Take a look at how you think. Take a look at what you do. And when I examined myself, I came up wanting. Okay? Because I was not the man that I wanted to be. And that was the beginning of transformation in my life. Whether I knew God or whether I didn't at the time, God knew me. He knew me. He knew who I was, he knew who he created me to be, and he was going to be darn sure that I was going to get there, despite of myself, okay? And he started to work on me through the Holy Spirit. And shortly after that, I did accept Christ into my life. And I'm telling you, my life changed. And I tell you, yes, he threw me in the hot box. I was in there many, many times. And every time I think that I've got it all together, he throws me right back into the hot box. Okay? And it's okay with me. I'm all right with that now. You know, I don't fear the hot box like I used to. I used to spend a lot of my time thinking, oh, how can I protect myself? How can I stay out of the hot box? You know? And I realized that sometimes even if you do everything right, God still puts you in there. And he's, because he knows what he wants to teach you. So never, ever, ever underestimate what the hot box can do, okay? So, once we have that understanding, you need to invest in it. Why? Because you're never going to get a return if you don't make an investment. Okay, does that make sense? Sometimes, all we need to do is follow the recipe. And maybe you have been following the recipe. And maybe you're just missing a few components of that recipe. That's okay. Go back to it. Start over again. And you'll figure it out. Because the Lord doesn't want you to fail. He wants to set you up for victory, for success. Sometimes it's just that we haven't cooked long enough. The Lord's just not done with us yet, and that's okay. Be happy there, all right? He's doing something. Either way, if you want lasting joy in your life, the recipe is right here. It's in here. If you want peace in your life, the recipe is right here. It's all here, folks. All we got to do is get into the cookbook and see what it is that God is telling us and how where it is that he's leading us. And it may be different for you as it is for you. Okay? As a matter of fact, it probably is. But that's okay. Because he's personalized this cookbook for each and every one of us. It has our name on it. Amen? I'm going to leave you with this. Deuteronomy 4:29 in the New American Revised Edition. It says, "Yet when you seek the Lord, your God, from there you shall indeed find him, if you search after him with all your heart and all your soul." So, my prayer for you this morning is that you will seek him out with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Because I know that if you do, it promises us right here, he will meet you there. Okay? Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and how incredible you are. We thank you, Father, for your recipes. We thank you, Lord, for every good thing that you have for us. I pray, Father, that you give us the ability, the knowledge, the wisdom, and the discernment, Lord, to know the difference from your recipes and the enemies. Lord, that we may not be fooled, but Lord, that we will have as much as you have for us. Lord, may you be the center of our life. May you be our focus, Father, and may you be in our presence. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give our lives to you, Lord, as you have already given your life to us. In Jesus' name we pray.